This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And alive can always be an angel. When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Show me the prison. Show me the jail. Show me the prisoner whose life has gone stale.
Good evening, this is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. My guest tonight is Bobby Davis. Bobby is an ex-con and an artist who recently published a children's book. Welcome, Bobby.
Hello, Karen.
So, Bobby, tell us about yourself. First of all, how long were you incarcerated and in which prisons did you serve?
Well, I was incarcerated throughout my life, 18 years. Been in and out of prison 5 times. I've spent time at OSP, Snake River Correctional Institution, Oregon State Correctional Institution, Columbia River Correctional Institution.
So you've had the tour.
Definitely took the tour.
And when were you released?
I was released March 12th of 2013.
Recently?
Yeah, recently.
When did you start drawing and writing? Tell us about your work.
I started getting into art as far back as I can remember. Like the first time I picked up a pencil, I was able to draw everything that I saw. As a matter of fact, my father accused me of tracing when I was, I showed him a picture that I had drawn. He said, well, I can't quote the words he said. He just said, Bobby, that's BS. You didn't draw that. And I said, yeah, I did. So he went through a deck of cards and found the Joker card in a deck of cards and threw it on the table and told me to draw it in front of him. So I sat there and drew it in front of him. And to his surprise, you know, I could draw. And that's when he realized I could draw. And I've been drawing ever since.
And how old were you?
I was probably about, I'm going to guess, I might have been 8 years old.
So when did you start getting serious about your artwork?
Well, for me, my artwork was, it was my release. It was something that was gave me a way to get away from the world or whatever. So it's something, I think I was serious with it at an early age. I mean, when I was in school, I used to get in trouble for, during class, I'd be drawing pictures for the girls or just sitting there drawing. It was just, it was my, like I said, my release and escape from the world and for my way to express myself.
You said you were incarcerated for 18 years. Did you draw while you were incarcerated?
Yes, I drew the whole time that I was in prison, in and out of prison. Each time that I went back, that, like I said, that was my escape from the reality or my way to express myself. And what changed in me, I guess, throughout the time of drawing is, you know, all those years I've spent in prison, you know, everybody around me would tell me how I was a waste of talent. I was, you know, better than this. You know, I mean, there was so much more I could do with my life. And for those first, you know, four times going in and out of prison, you know, I would listen to what people said, but I didn't have no confidence in myself. I didn't believe in my potential because, you know, I look at the world, there's full of artists and there's just so much competition that I just didn't feel very confident, especially coming with a lifestyle that I had grown up in. You know, I grew up, you know, in pretty much on the streets, I guess you could say.
So, Bobby, you have about 18 years of artwork. Did you tattoo in prison also?
Yes. Unfortunately, you're not supposed to tattoo in the Oregon State Correctional
Institution. Oh, nobody heard that.
But yes, I tattooed.
So you have 18 years of artwork. You must have quite a collection.
Well, it's sad to be honest with you because I didn't have much when I was in there. So my art was my way of taking care of myself. I would draw portraits. I'd draw pictures for people. And they would sell them. So I didn't have much of a portfolio. I drew pictures, you know, I mean, people would want to buy them as soon, before I'd even get them finished drawing, people would want to buy it from me. You know, it wouldn't make always much money, but it kept me going, you know what I mean? Plus, it was a way for me to do my time. That's how I did time. It was my escape from the reality of where I was at. I'd get lost in the, whatever it was I was drawing, expressing myself.
So there's a lot of people out there with original Bobby Davis artwork.
Oh, yes. There's plenty of people not just wearing it on their body, but they also got pictures hanging up on their wall. After the years of, you know, four times in prison, I started getting this idea. I sat in a cell with a friend of mine named Danny Silvis, and he was telling me about a friend of his, somebody that had wrote children's books and illustrated them. And me and him was talking about, we're both artists. We could do this. You know what I mean? We have the potential to do this. And so it sat there as an idea that me and him were just talking about in a cell, goofing around. And although we didn't follow that dream right then and there, I ended up getting out of prison. And I was doing pretty good. One of the best times I'd ever done in my life. I made a lot of accomplishments. I had got my license, insurance, had a bank account for the first time. I never in my life would have ever thought I had a visa, as silly as that may sound.
So you're talking about the fourth time you were in prison and released.
Yes, the fourth time when I was released. I got out and wasn't even thinking about, you know, the children's books or anything like that. I put that all behind me. I just was getting out, trying to just live life, transition into the community, and become a member of society. But, you know, it didn't last long. I unfortunately, I fell back into the old crowd and found myself back into addiction. And before long, I found myself back in prison.
Bobby, what happened? Why did you fall back into addiction, do you think?
I think that I got comfortable. I started, you know, thinking that I had control of my life, thinking I had control of my addiction, thinking that, you know, I had been clean. I'd been doing what I'm supposed to do. I got a job. I made these accomplishments. I'm actually living out here on life's terms. And I thought that I was confident and strong enough to be around those old friends. And I got, well, just to be honest with you, what really took me back was I got back in an old relationship with a girlfriend that was still using, and I thought I was strong enough that I could bring her back into my life and show her what I'd been doing that's been working for me, you know, and save her as I was doing for myself. But unfortunately, I'm an addict just like she was, and by being around her, before long I found myself, you know, back into doing drugs. And from there, our life spiraled out of control, and it's easy to figure out how the story goes. I soon found myself back in prison. She was in jail. And when I went back to jail that time, sitting in Inverness, I took it really hard. I sat in that cell just thinking about the accomplishments that I'd made, you know, that I'd had a bank account, I had my license, I was doing good, I had a job that I was happy with. And so I really beat myself up sitting there, you know, here I am going back to prison, going to have to listen to everybody tell me how I'm a waste of talent, you know. And so I told myself I was going to do something different this time when I was going back there. I was going to make good with my time. I'm not going to sit there and just do what I've always done, sit in the cells, tattooing, staying in that same circle of friends. So I was sitting at Coffee Creek, where you sat there for 30 days up to 60 days before you go. They find out what prison you're going to be transferred to. I sit down and started writing a children's book.
So this all came about at intake. You were going back to prison. How long were you going back to prison for this time, the fifth time?
I was going back to prison for 65 months.
So over 5 years.
Yes.
So at intake, knowing you were going to go to prison for 5 years, you made this choice to turn your life around and start writing a book.
Well, my mom told me, you know, many times going in and out of prison, she said I was talented and she said I'm full of good ideas. I've always had great ideas, but I had no follow through. I never followed through and completed anything in my life. And
what was different this time? How did you know you were going to follow through?
It's kind of hard to put into words. It's just something clicked inside of me. I wanted better for myself. I wanted better for my family. I was inspired by a lot of things. I was inspired by my children. I wanted to do something to let my children know that I've always loved them, because I have a 21-year-old daughter that I spent most of her life in prison. So she didn't even really know who I was. And constantly she would throw these things in my face. You owe me, Dad. You owe me 20 years of your life. And I don't even know who my dad is. And so hearing her words were heavy on me. And like I said, I sat in that cell and I wanted to do something to make them proud of me and to know that I've always loved them and that, you know, I've always cared about them. And as the saying goes, I was sick and tired. I was honestly, truly sick, disgusted with myself, humiliated by the choices that I made, put myself in and out of prison multiple times. Plus, it got to the point where I'm looking at people that cared about me, where they, when they started losing hope, stopped believing in me, that really had a strong effect on me. I mean, I didn't want my family and my friends or people that cared about me to give up on me and think that I was a lost cause, or that I was the person that you just throw away the key with and you never look back. I wanted to be more than that. So I just made a decision. It was just something that clicked inside me. When they sent me from Coffee Creek, they sent me to the Columbia River Correctional Institution. When I got to Columbia River, I immediately got into a program called Rose City Graphics. What Rose City Graphics was, it's an art program that where you illustrate, do pictures for postcards and greeting cards for throughout the institutions of Oregon. When they seen the talents that I had, I was given the opportunity to teach an art class, and I taught some of the other inmates there how to work in a variety of different mediums, you know, graphite, color pencil, watercolor, and even teaching them how to airbrush. I did that for about 9 months, 6 to 9 months. And but while I was teaching those guys, I'd give them their projects, what to do, how to, you know, the shadows and their projects, what to draw. And while they were doing their projects, I took that opportunity to sit there and sketch out my book. And I would do that 5 days a week, which I got to be honest, it wasn't easy sitting, you know, in a dorm living where you got constant people running and moving around. So it was just, you had to be focused. And I really had to block everything out and really follow my dream. And it took me a year and a half to get the illustrations done because of the environment where I was at. But believe it or not, I wrote the story in a week, the first story. I wrote that first story while I was sitting at Coffee Creek. And the crazy thing is, I never thought that I could write a children's book. I was always confident in my art, thinking that, you know, I knew that I could draw pictures, I could illustrate a book, but I never believed in myself. You're talking to a guy that's got a GED. I never thought that, you know, I would be able to write something that was educational or something that would flow with the right words to entertain.
So another thing I wanted to talk about, Bobby, I interviewed Trish Jordan of Red Lodge Transition Services a few weeks ago here on Prison Pipeline. And Trish gave me one of the 2013 wall calendars. And it just so happens that the picture on the front of the calendar was one of your illustrations. Can you talk about this illustration? It's a beautiful illustration of two women and a dove.
With a dream catcher.
First of all, are you Native American?
Yes, I am part Native American. I'm enrolled Turtle Mountain from Ojibwa, from Belcourt, North Dakota.
And your illustrations are beautiful. Can you talk about this illustration that you did for the 2013 Red Lodge calendar?
I like to draw a variety of different things, but being that I'm part Native, I'm really passionate about drawing in Native artwork. But I seen a picture of this woman's face, and it was an old 1800 book, and it just had so much expression, so much emotion to it, and it captured my attention. So the reason that I painted this picture is, yes, I know Trish, she would come into our our Native American functions, the powwow and ceremonies that we'd have at Columbia River Correctional Institution. And like I said, every year we have a powwow, and we have giveaways to honor our guests. And I wanted to honor our guests like Trish and Will. We have people that come to take the time out of their life to come in and to make our world possible so we can have our ceremony, so we can hold on to our Native American traditions. Because without them, we wouldn't be able to pursue that while we're in prison. So I painted a variety of pictures to give away at the powwow, but I wanted to honor people like Trish Jordan and Will and Stonebearers, and John Sanchez, people that took their time out of their life out here to come in and make our world possible, And so that's how I came about with doing this painting here. And then Trish honored me by putting it on the cover of their yearly calendar. And I can't even express in words how excited I am that she did that.
And that is the Native American Art Project of Red Lodge Transition Services. Talk about this illustration.
Just to give you a little more insight of the picture, like I said, I seen a picture in one of the 1800 books that it's just a beautiful Native American woman that her expression stood out to me. It looked surreal. You know what I mean? She just had such an expression on her face. I wanted to incorporate the dream catcher with the dove coming through it, just because it's like love. And it's in the expression of the picture, it looks like she's looking out in a dream, like she's dreaming out. And I wanted to capture that by putting the dream catcher behind her and the white dove coming through the dream catcher. So she's, because actually the dream catcher is to catch the bad dreams.
And I'm here with Bobby Davis. He is an author and illustrator. So the name of your book is A Butterfly's Tale. It was published in when?
It was published just a few weeks ago.
And you are the author and illustrator. And I am looking at the front cover of the book. It is beautifully illustrated. It is whimsical, colorful. How does someone sitting in prison with barbed wire, guards everywhere, no privacy, where do you find the inspiration? How does this beauty come out of such a hellhole?
Well, I think for me, it was through my children. I mean, I look at the pictures of my children. They were my inspiration. Through their eyes is what I wanted to, draw the pictures and write a story to. So I would go down in the corner of the dorm and get lost in my own world. Just picture, I tried to put myself, what would make them smile, what would educate them, what would let them learn from my mistakes. And so by having that inspiration or thinking about my children, that's what gave me the vision and gave me to get out of that world where I was at and get lost in it, in their world, and took me down that journey of just wanting to, I don't know how to explain it, I was just really passionate about wanting to reach out to the world with, all children, not just my own, but just so, I don't know how else to put it, it just came to me. It was just something that, I was in a dark place. I lived in, prison's not, a fun place to be, but we all have choices, and I just made the choice to want better for myself, not just for myself, but for my family. And when I first started this book, it wasn't even about being successful or anything like that. It was just it was truly a story about just wanting me to reach out to bring us all together, all different cultures of people, and to educate one another and know that we can all get along. Because being in prison, everything's segregated a lot, through races and cultures and stuff like that. And it's sad to me because when you open your eyes, you look at the world, we're full of culture, we're full of different nationalities and people. And the only way we're going to learn from one another is to educate one another. And throughout the story is, the bond with your family. Look at the world today, how children treat their parents. Your parents ain't going to be around forever. They brought us into this world. And it's sad the way some of us children treat our families. And so I wanted to, through that story, for them to see, to open their eyes, love your family, why they're there, because they're not always going to be there. Just like I wasn't always there for my daughter. And that's why it was important. There's just a lot of messages throughout the story.
So, Bobby, tell us about A Butterfly's Tale.
Okay, well, just to give you a little insight, Ares is the main character, and he starts out as a caterpillar before he turns into a butterfly. So just to give you a little insight on what it is, I'm going to read a little something from the book. Ares, nervous and a little shy, said, "Hello, my name is Ares," one of the ants said in a Spanish accent. "Hey, amigo, me name is Rico, and this is me brother Oscar." No sooner did Rico had his brother's name out of his mouth when Oscar began laughing and pointing at Ares. "What's so funny?" Ares asked. Oscar said, You look like a worm with hair and feet." Oscar couldn't stop laughing. Ares did not see what was so funny. He felt his face flush red as he became embarrassed. "Why is he so mean?" Ares thought. Rico said in a Spanish accent, Please forgive me, brother, for he knows no manners. With that being said, Rico grabbed that chair and was off with his brother quick on his heels. Hey, that's mine, Oscar yelled, and just like that, they were off, fighting over that chair as if they'd never seen Ares. Ares didn't know what to think of those ants. That night, Ares asked his mother, Mom, why don't I look like you? You're so beautiful and, well, look at me. I look like a worm with hair. Oh, Ares, don't be silly. Why would you say such things? Ares told his mother about what one of the ants had said. Ares' mother said, Ares, you are so much more beautiful than you realize. Soon you will grow into wings of your own, and with them you can explore the world. But for now, you must not go beyond the leaves. There is too much danger out there always waiting.
And I see that you dedicated your first published book to your mother for believing in you and never giving up on you.
Yes, it's true. My mom is somebody, my mom is my rock. My mom is, I'm what you might consider a mama's boy. I've loved my mom throughout my whole life, and my mom is one of the only people who's always stuck by me, no matter what I've done in life, whatever choice that I've made. One thing I didn't share with you before, I was in and out of juvenile facilities. You know, I have 18 years just in the adult system, but I'm also spent 3-4 years of my life in juvenile facilities. I was a foster in foster homes, group homes. But my mom never gave up on me. She always loved me. She always came, found time to come see me. And no matter where I was at, whether I was in Echo Glen in Snoqualmie, Washington, whether I was in Walla Walla State Penitentiary, she just, you know, like I said, my mom's a rock. She's always believed in me. She never stopped believing in me.
So your mother must be very proud.
My mom is extremely proud right now of the choices just in the life that I'm living since I've been released and the accomplishments that I'm making. Also, I'd like to share, if I may, the biggest thing in my life today is that I'm a father. You know what I mean? In the past, I hadn't been a father, but today I'm actually a full-time father. I wake up and I take my daughter to school, I get her dressed, and I'd never done that before in my life. And I'm also in my oldest daughter's life today. And that's what is a lot of my motivation. It's not just wanting for myself, you know, but yourself is important. I mean, I have to love myself, you know, and if I don't love myself and really care about my dreams and myself, it's not going to work out. But they do play a major role in my life today. They keep me grounded. They keep me motivated. And I wanted to share that. You know, that's what all this stuff began with these books. It was all about me wanting to reach out to my children and let them know that I've always thought about them and I was always there, even when I wasn't at times.
Bobby, did you have any publishing issues?
Yes. Publishing while you're inside prison is definitely a struggle. It's definitely, you'll see a lot of walls and doors get slammed in your face. It's hard enough trying to get published out here in the free world, not alone sitting inside of a prison cell or in trying to reach out. I mean, most of the time you'll send your query letter out and most of the publishing people won't even open your envelope, I'm assuming. Well, let me put it like this. I reached out to a couple different publishers. I Publish America. They were going to publish my book until they realized that I was in prison. So then they backed out of it, didn't want to deal with me, which set me back a little bit. You know, in your heart that you're trying to do something good with your life. You're trying to, you know, you're making changes and you feel that you have something that you want to share with the world and you feel that it's good. And so when those doors get slammed, it takes the confidence out of you a little bit. Then I reached out. There's a guy in prison I'd found out, because you never know who's sitting next to you in prison. There's all kinds of different people, different walks of life sitting in there. And I'd soon found out that it was a guy that had worked for Dark Horse Comics. And when I was excited to hear that, I went up to him and I asked him, I said, do you mind reading my book? I said, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. Can you tell me if I'm chasing my tail or do I have potential? And he took the time to read my book and he came back to me. And to my surprise, he was tapping my book going, he goes, you wrote this. And I go, yeah, I wrote this. He goes, you wrote this and you drew these pictures? And I go, yeah, I did. He goes, what you have here is a franchise. He goes, this is what we publishers look for. I said, would you be willing to contact someone like Dark Horse or whatever? And he said, yes. And so that told me right there, if he's willing to make that contact, that he really believed in what I've done. And that gave me a boost in my confidence. Well, just to share with you, he contacted Dark Horse Comics, and Dark Horse Comics, I sent them a copy of my book, and from the message it was given back to me, they said that although they said they don't deal with children's genre this young, because they mostly deal with, you know, teenage stuff and like that in Dark Horse, but he said that what he would be interested in is possibly animation. He said, but for me to, you know, to get the experience of a first-time published author, but make sure I retain all the movie rights, toy rights, and things like that. He said, but another reason he didn't want to deal with me while I was in prison, and this was 2 years ago, was because there's too much red tape or barriers to deal with me while I was in there. But anyway, that was my second attempt at a publishing company, which wasn't negative. It was really positive. Mm-hmm.
So who finally published you then?
Okay, well, I was also just to share with you, you know, you got to be careful who you're reaching out to, because while I was in there, I was writing a woman for a year, and I thought that I could trust her, and I was sharing her about my passion of my dream about me writing children's books and what I'd been doing. And I said, well, maybe you can help me. We can help each other. Maybe you can email publishers and agents for me so I can, you know, get this ball rolling while I'm in here. And she says, sure, let me look at the book. Well, when I sent her a copy of the book, she was thrilled and excited. She soon asked me for a power of attorney and a letter of authorization, which I said no. I said, this is my dream, and this is, I'm very passionate about this, and I want to be the one that's in control of what's going to be done with the book. She's like, well, it's clear you don't trust me. And from that moment, you know, our relationship stopped. You know what I mean? So, and then from there, how I got my big break was sitting in prison. There's another guy named Eric Rise that was a friend of mine. And I was telling him when he was coming back from Columbia River, and I was telling him about what I'd been doing, that I'd been writing children's books. And he told me that he just got a book published himself. I took it to our club and I showed him my book, and he's part Native American also. And he contacted his publishing company, which is May December Publishing. And from there, that's how I got my foot in the door. And then...
So, Bobby, what's next?
What's next is I have four other books that I've wrote to follow up A Butterfly's Tale. I've also wrote a separate book, The Frog Who's Afraid to Hop. And I'm also, just what I just share with you is a publication. May December Publication also contracted me out to illustrate another book for a woman, which I'm in the process now. And I'm hoping to have that done soon.
Bobby, where can people purchase A Butterfly's Tale?
They can find A Butterfly's Tale on Amazon.com. Also, an ebook form on Smashwords.com. I'm also currently working on an invention that I came up with, which I call the Grid Glow. It's just an invention to make, it's like a Gerber for artists. It's a multitask tool to help artists just better to illustrate, better to... you know, find your dimensions in your art with your perspective and your horizon line, your vanishing points. Being like I shared with you earlier, is I taught that art class. That's what gave me the opportunity where it sparked that invention, that idea in me. And since I've been released, I've contacted a company named Idea Design Studio who is willing to work with me in my idea. And I've got a business partner that wants to finance me and so I can get that invention going.
When were you released again?
I was released March 12th of 2013. So yes, I've been busy in the short 3.5 months that I've been released.
Wonderful. I do hear people say about prisoners to lock them up and throw away the key. And you're a living example of how people could turn their life around. You're truly an inspiration. Thank you for being here, Bobby Davis.
Thank you, Karen, for having me. I really appreciate it. I'd just like to add that dreams do come true. So just follow your dreams just as I have.
You have been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. I want to thank again Bobby Davis, and thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
Way down in the valley, and the valley's so low, till I just could not hear that teeny tiny with the blue. When you write to your little, please send it by mail. You can dress it all over of that priest for jail. Or the sheriff, he will arrest you, found you over in jail. Can't get nobody to go your bill. Send for your lawyer, come down to yourself. Here's why he can play you in spite of old hell. Get some of your money, come back for the rest. Tell you to plead guilty, and boy, know it is best. For the judge, he will sentence you, but you can write it down. You can bet your bottom dollar, penitentiary bound. That said to judge, I like to forget. He's the grandest old rascal the state ever picked out. All the roses are red, and the violets blue. All the angels in heaven, they sing I love you. When he writes you a letter, please send it by mail. You can dress it all over and that street bojail.
The time is 6:59, Monday, July 8th, 2013. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 in Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM in Philomath and Corvallis. Coming up next is KBOO's daily broadcast of this afternoon's Hard Knock Radio, followed at 8 by A Different Nature. Please stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival, July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Featuring over 50 electronic and dance artists, including Purity Ring, A-Track, RJD2, and Tycho, as well as on-site art installations, a hookah lounge, and splash pool. That's July 26th through 28th, 2013, at Wolf Run Ranch in Oregon. Tickets on sale now at whatthefestival.com.
Well, come on over. We got a fight going on that's a good bit of fun.
Welcome to violence.
Monday, July 8th, 8 to 10 p.m. A Different Nature.
Two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted
sounds of fighting. Monday, July 8th, 8 to 10 p.m. on A Different Nature.
Here on KBOO Portland.
Listener discretion is advised.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and